Hey, so, Word. That's the title. Word. Word. Anyone else? 90s kids? Right? Word. Or maybe you knew 90s kids and you know what I'm saying? We are going to start our journey through 1 John. Bubbles. We're going to start our journey through John, and I just really kind of appreciate and want to point out, I see the Lord up to something, and that's kind of the prayer, like, Lord, could you show us what you're doing? Could you show us, you know, what are you up to? How are we supposed to get involved with what's going on? Because that's the whole point. We come together, we have a Savior who's alive and at work, right, in our midst. We're not like witness protection waiting for Jesus to come back and nothing good's happening. There are good things happening in the midst of darkness and evil. And so show us, God, what you're up to and what you want us to do in that. Well, one thing I noticed is even Josh talked about this last week, how fascinating it is when you look at history, right? So I don't have notes about this, so forgive me, Josh, if I'm saying that wrong. But he's showing even the exile of the Israelites hundreds of years before got their culture, their prophecy into a foreign land, which, what was it, 600 or 700 years later, then brought Magi, who heard from the exiles about this prophecy, brought them following this light to meet the Savior Jesus, who, you know, was a toddler, right? And they brought him gifts of value, and that those gifts might have been sold in order to provide finances so that Jesus' family could escape being killed. Right? Your mind's just blown. Like, you took something, God, like exile of your people, capture of them, taken away so that information could travel, so Magi would come, so gifts would come, so finances would be provided, so Jesus wouldn't die. You don't even know what you're going to eat for lunch today, and he's thinking 1,000 years ahead. Right? So maybe I'm a little nostalgic here, but that blew my mind and sort of caused pause for me. And this is another reason why I wear this jacket, okay? I'm taking you back in time today. And I'm going to tell you this. Consider this, the year of our Lord, right? The year of our Lord, 1997, okay? I bought this jacket. The year of our Lord, 1997, right? I bought this jacket, and now I'm getting old because there's people in here that are younger than the clothes I'm wearing. So that is the sign. But now, one of the reasons why I'm wearing this jacket, I bought it at a place called Stage, which you probably never heard of if you haven't lived here for a long time. Anyway, I bought it in this very jacket in the year of our Lord, 1997. I asked Brandy to marry me. Probably at Fane Park, guys. At Fane Park. Like, you could walk there. You know where that is? Go out of this parking lot, and basically your first left. Right there, in 1997, I asked her to marry me wearing this jacket, okay? God knew that, and somehow I would have called you an idiot and a liar if you would have said, oh yeah, you know, like 23, 24 years later, you're going to be like preaching at this building over here, which is a communication center. Like, come on, that's 20, and God does these things in the same jacket, right? Wearing the same jacket, right? Also, you're like, wow, it still fits you. This is why, kids, don't make fun of the chubby kids, because you all get chubby, we stay chubby, so we can wear the same clothes even 20 years later. There are some advantages. Go to the high school reunion, it's like, wow, you look the same, we all got chubby. Right on, right? So that caused this pause to me. So, you know, one thing about my life with Brandy is probably more than we've ever had before. We're talking about the Bible together. And I know I should have had this thing sewn up and taken care of like when I was 20 and we got married, right? I didn't do this right. We haven't done this right. But one thing that we're learning is we're in way too much of a rush. Right? Like, we're way too much in a rush with our Bible studies. Because like Randy says, where are you going with your Bible study? You finish the book, woo, yay, right? You do what? Another book, woo, yeah. You keep going and going, and you try to rapidly go through that, and you miss what God is up to. So you just think about what is God doing now that won't make sense for 700 years or 20 years. That blows you away, and it should cause pause for you. So I paused when I went into 1 John. 1 John 1 said this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." And I pause there. And let me pause here. Let's just pray. Lord, I pray that you guide, Holy Spirit. We've been talking a lot about you. Now we want to walk with you in the Spirit, listening to your leading. So I pray that every word that you give me, everything that we talk about today would be for your glory and from you, that it would be used for good in the building up of the saints and the perfecting of us and the work that you've started, and I know that you'll complete on the day of our Lord. And we just praise you and thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. So that caused me pause. Okay, well, I pushed through because I'm a little hard-headed. So I kept reading. Verse 2, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life." There's another one that caught my eye, and I kept reading, "which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." Verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things," right? And this is something Brandy pointed out. Why are they writing these things? So that our joy may be complete. Joy. So what he's writing here, the result of that should be joy in the believer. So we can get into some of the background, but this is written by John. And you guys know who's John? What's that? Who wrote this book, John? John, good answer. Okay, yeah. Which, there's lots of Johns. Which John? Is it John the Apostle? Does he have a brother? What's that? No, not Jesus. Right, James, thank you, yeah. John, James, sons of guy with a cool name. What's his guy's name? Zebedee, right? Sons of Thunder. These guys, right? Also the beloved, he wrote John, the gospel, also was the one that wrote Revelation. This is who everyone who studies the Bible believes. This guy wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the Gospel of John, and Revelation. So he walked with Jesus, and actually he was one of the dear and near ones to Jesus. So he knew him in an intimate way that some of the other disciples that maybe we don't hear from as much, they weren't part of some of those intimate conversations. Not to say they didn't have those with Jesus, but he's got some inside track, and he's writing to who here? Right, unbelievers or believers? Believers. So we can kind of claim that as some good information for us, and it makes sense that we might read through it. But let me get back to where I was caused to pause in my spirit, and that's this, the word of life. The word of life. Well, it talked about that in the word of life in there, right? That Jesus was the word of life. What's that mean? Well, if you go into that, it's also talking about eternal life. And so before we go forward, let's just say this. Eternal life refers to the nature and quality of life in fellowship with God. This was revealed in the life of Jesus. So eternal life is not something that starts after you die, but something that you begin when you walk with Jesus, okay? So Jesus being the life was the way in which you and I, in him, could begin to live our eternal life. John also wrote this, John 5:24. "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Well, Josh, we've talked a little bit about this too, and you look at 1 John and you kind of got to look at John too. And that really reminded me of John 1. And John 1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's like this wordplay. The word was God, and the word was with God, and in the beginning there was God. It was like, oh, geez, I don't even know what that means, right? So then also in verse 14 of John 1, it complicated even more. It says the word, which was who? Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Wow. And okay, here's what we do. We read this and we pretend we know what it means. And like, yes, and we memorize it. The word was God, the word was with God, right? So stop. Let's slow down a minute. What's the word mean? And that's what I prayed about. I said, Lord, what does the word mean? And of course, you know what you do when you're a pastor. You look at like smarter people than you in their commentaries. You try to look at some of that. But what if we just ask God for a minute? Like, what, Lord, what's significant about Jesus being the word? Communication. What's that?
Creation.
How so?
God spoke and it was so.
The creation. Right. Yep, through the word. Yeah, Chris, that's true. He spoke creation into existence. Like power, right? The power of words. What else do we think about words or word? Right? The logos, the Greek word, which actually, here, let's get another answer. Who wants to say Bible? The word, right? The Bible. Okay. So the word, right? We go to that and we call it that, but really what it is this logos word is the spoken word, not the written word, but it was spoken, recorded, and shared with us. So that's why it becomes the word of God, because it's the written record of the spoken word of God. Does that make sense? So the word is that. But let's even go back let's go non-religious on it. What does a word do? Communicates it what? It defines something. It creates something. Begins something. It terrifies, you said? Well, clarifies. It terrifies. It can terrify too. Yes, yes. Build up or destroy. So, you know, honestly, like, for you, what's in my mind and what you're thinking right now is a mystery. My thoughts are a mystery to you, and your thoughts are a mystery to me. And who you are begins as a mystery to me. Where you come from, even your name begins as a mystery. And these things that are unknown, mysterious, or hidden, they only become manifest or brought into our awareness when a word is spoken. Hi, I'm Will. Who is that? That's Will. How do you know? He told me. So that's how I'm like, okay, Lord, let's think about that. That is significant. That caused me pause. So by definition, the word in the culture, right, like in the kind of the Greek-based culture, that's this could be used to refer to the notion of divine self-expression or speech, right? The notion of divine self-expression or speech. So that changes a little bit. If Jesus is the divine expression or speech of God. Okay, I got that, Will. I got that in my head, right? It's the old like cliche we've all learned. We know these things in our head. But until we get those into our knowing, our knower, our belief, the thing that drives our actions and thoughts, like they are just information, right? So, okay, Lord, help this to be more than information. So you might have to click that, Laura. I've got, before you, or Linda, I called you Laura. So let's go back to that. Hold on a second. Let me introduce this to you in terms of being a 90s kid, like, something that just came to mind, and I'm giving you this warning. I'm going to show you a clip from a movie from the year of our Lord, 1999, right? So about the time of this jacket. When I thought it was cool, apparently, I don't know if it was. But About this same time came out a movie, and probably 1,000 times pastors throughout the United States have shown this to illustrate their point, as well as numerous authors and books. So I'm offering you basically nothing original and new today. But this helps get to the point that I want to make to you about we've got to stop with this word, okay? Word, we got to stop, okay? So this, guys, if you're like the 90s kid, word, 80s kid, newer kids, what I want you to do is get woke, okay? Like Christian woke, right? This is what this needs to happen. So this movie is called The Matrix, okay? Yeah, right? Maybe you've seen it. If not, I'm not making a clear recommendation for any movie per se, but it illustrates the point. And here's what, this is a scene where there's a character named Morpheus, and he's this wise mystical character. And then the main character, which is, his name is Thomas Anderson. He is a computer programmer and a hacker. And his hacking name is Neo. And what he's done through the computer, he's picked up on some code that has really just awoken him to the reality that there's more going on than meets his eye, right? And that he's getting invited to learn more about this mysterious thing that he has this feeling about. And so this is a meeting, an awakening, if you will, and it's going to illustrate some points. So I'll have Linda please play that if you would. It's going to work. We'll see. It won't play there? Yeah, you got it? So it did play earlier, but that's how that worked. We got a separate video, so you can drag that over. Go ahead and stop that there. You should be able to. You tried it here. Yeah, it did, huh? There we go.
Let me give you one piece of advice. Be honest. He knows more than you can imagine.
At last. Welcome, Neo. As you no doubt have guessed, I am Morpheus.
It's an honor to meet you.
No. The honor is mine. Please, come, sit. I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole.
Say that.
I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Matrix.
you want to know what it is. The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. Follow me.
So, I've got a little transcript of that too. I don't know, apparently there's like opposition that doesn't want you to see that because even the sound was glow. But we just pushed through that. So what you see here is, as first of all, okay, first of all, kids, don't take pills from strange bald dudes in trench coats. But Morpheus comes in, and I hope you can appreciate the story and the metaphor here. And he says this, I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he's expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. And so just that piece there, I was rewatching this a couple times this week, and it was like, wow. Isn't that so true of us? The reason why I want to show this to you is because before we can go into 1 John even farther, we need to know these Christians were facing lots of versions of lies. Okay, if we want to simplify it, Jesus came and he brought them truth. And there's the false teaching, there's the false prophets, there's the false beliefs, there's what our eyes see and how they can deceive us, right? And so every Christian, them and us, is facing that same problem. This speaks to this. So he's like, I can see in your eyes that you're a man that's just accepting what you see because you're hoping, you're expecting you'll just wake up soon. I think that's it. I think we give in to the world now and then we'll give in to God later. Because there's going to be, if I can be good enough to get to heaven, then holiness, righteousness, obedience, that's going to be later. Like, I'm a sinner doing the best I can is that mentality. So there's this, like, I'm just going to go with what I see now because I expect to be woken up. And then he asked him, do you believe in fate, Neo? And then he says, no. And he goes, why not? He says, because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life. Right? Isn't that us? And then he says, I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life. that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that's brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, wow, just embrace that for a minute. Isn't that everything that Jesus is telling? Like, it's been written on your hearts. You've known from eternity past that this is not where you belong, that this is not right, that the relationships that we have are not right, the cultures that we live are not right, the governance that we live under is not right, that I'm not right, that our money is not right, the way we handle sexuality is not right, the way, I mean, can't you just see it? Like, even creation itself is going mad because this is not what we were created to do and be. And whether you've gone to church and you know the name of Jesus or not, you know something, right, inside. And unless you're willing to kind of shove it off, it's going to keep eating at you. And meeting people and getting to know them, people with certain gifts, they see this more clear. It is maddening for them. And he's like, that's why you're here. He says, you know what I'm talking about? And of course, in this, he's like, the Matrix. Well, do you want to know what it is? He says, nods his head, yeah. And then he says, the Matrix is everywhere. It's all around us, even now in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work or when you go to church or when you pay your taxes. It's the world that's been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. What truth? He asks. Then Morpheus says that you are a slave. Insert your name here, right? You are a slave, Will, like everyone else. You were born into bondage, born inside a prison that you cannot smell, taste, or touch. A prison for your mind. Why do you think Paul said, you want to be transformed? How you do this is you renew your mind. He says, unfortunately, and Brandy, isn't this true? We've been talking a lot about this, and you've been saying this. You're like, you can't just know these things. At best, you know something's wrong. But he says, unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is, what the world is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance, and after this, there's no turning back. And then he pulls out, right? He's flipping around his tent, and he pulls out a blue and a red pill. And he holds them out, and he says, you know, this is your last chance. If you take the blue pill, then the story ends. You'll wake up in your bed and you'll believe whatever you want to believe. And then he shows them the red pill and he says, you take the red pill and you stay in Wonderland and you see exactly how deep the rabbit hole goes. And then I don't know if you caught this. Then Neo reaches for the red, right? So it's kind of like that question, right? It's like you take the red or the yellow, and he reaches for that and he pauses and he says, and he says, remember, all that I'm offering is the truth. That's for you. We don't want the blue. Okay, you know, humor me in this. This is what God wants me to tell you today. We are all slaves. Like, That's what it says, right? Like, because this world, because this has fallen, and I know it makes it sound evil, but like already, like I can't keep you here all day. You're gonna get hungry and you're gonna get tired and you're gonna get angry and you're gonna get grumpy. Like, we're subject to so many things, like your exhaustion, your sleepiness, right? Your hunger, your self-protection, your fear, your selfishness, like your flesh. Like, you are in a world that's constantly, you can't even play a stupid video on church on Sunday morning because the sound won't work right? Like, there is an opposition to what you're doing. There is a power that exists all around you, not a greater power than our God, but there is a power and a presence in a world that is all they're really trying to do is simply keep you in the dark. They are pulling this over your eyes so you can't see, right? And what they're doing that's even more brilliant is on the inside of the thing they're pulling over your eyes, they've created an entire world that's trying to tell you this is how, this is living, this is life, this is truth, this is hope, this is happiness, and we are all walking around like this. You are a slave. You were born into this bondage. And this prison you see, you can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it. It's a prison for your mind. Well, how do you escape this prison? Okay, what's the answer? How do you escape the prison? Where's the good church answer? Come on. Jesus, you guys did it. Good job. Okay. Remind me, Ross, we've got to buy some little Bible stickers, man, so we can always talk about that. It'd be good to give them out. Jesus is the answer. So just a snapshot here. Here's some of the things that Jesus said he came to do. Okay, first thing, he came to do the work of his Father. He came to do the will of his Father. He came so that we would have abundant life, that we would be, the blinders would be taken off, that the veil would be removed, that the world would be pulled from our eyes so we wouldn't be seeing the world in all of its trappings, right? That we would see God and his kingdom now, that we would see him in the midst of the world that's pulled over our eyes, right? He came to fulfill the law. He said this in Luke 4:18. Jesus said, he has sent me, Who's he? God has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Man, he is removing that. He is dissolving the matrix. He is giving us a community that can remind us what the world is saying is a bunch of bull. And then he said this. And Luke 19, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Kind of like Morpheus came, right? And all his people, he came to Mr. Anderson and he said, dude, there's more than meets the eye. The world, the matrix, it's pulling stuff over your eye. You don't see what's going on, but you got one chance. There's one way out of this. And it's not a pill, it's Jesus. Although, you know, a red almond M&M is good, it will not free you from that. And then Jesus also said this, right, in John 18, which is pretty powerful. For this I've been born, and for this I've come into the world to testify to truth. It's like he said, this is your chance. It's very Jesus-like in that metaphor, right? This is your chance, guys. And here's how Jesus enters our life. That's what's so cool about this, right? Like when you celebrate your birthday, do your parents like recount the whole story of how you were born to you? Maybe sometimes, probably not usually. Usually it's like you celebrate the currentness of your life, right? And so I think we get so caught up in how Jesus was born in that story. You almost have it memorized and it's some sort of blend between what you read in a storybook and what you got from the Gospels, right? But the reality is like our birthday every year, there's a new thing to celebrate. Because God has appointed you and created you to live in this time and this place amongst these people. And that's significant. That's significant. And so every year, well, Jesus wasn't born on December 12th. I don't care. He was born and he still lives. And he is the red pill, right? He is the one chance that you and I have. He is the one who will remove the veil from our eyes that will help us to see like, wow, man, the stuff we've been given, it's not true and it's death, not life. And so Jesus said, this is why I was here. I've got to testify to the truth. Here's the truth. God's been speaking the whole time. This is what God showed me. Look back, right? In the beginning, Adam and Eve. Adam. Dude. All these trees, they're good for you, but that tree, don't eat of that. And then he's like, baby, we can't eat from that tree, but we can eat the rest, right? And then she's like, I don't know. The serpent said that tree looked pretty good. I think God is holding out on us, right? Insert this. And he's like, she's my wife. She's naked. This is sweet. Yes, I will eat that too, right? And then they do that. And then fast forward, God continues to walk with man. You have, you know, friends of God. He's talking to them, telling them the truth. Abraham, I know that you're like in your 90s, dude. I'm going to give you a son. Okay, God, right? Like, it keeps going. Pretty soon they're like, I think we misunderstood God. Maybe it's buffering. I don't know. We don't get it. Let's get this slave girl, get her pregnant, and then for thousands of years they can war in the Middle East about this. That would be great, right? But God's like, I was speaking to you and told you what I was going to do, and you didn't believe me, right? And then Moses comes with a message, right? The Israelites had a message. You can take these people. We're going to have a choir concert, and walls of Jericho are going to fall down. And they're like, dude, no way. We're going to stay and walk in the wilderness for 40 years. And then the prophets were there. The prophets were saying, this is what God is saying. And what they do to them? Killed them. The judges, they tried to do that. How did that work? Not so well, right? God has been speaking the whole time. God was trying to give his word, his character, his identity, his will, his goodness, his power, his plan. He's been trying to speak it through people throughout all time. And finally, he knew from the beginning, right? Because God's the guy that, like, gets gold to Jesus by trapping his people 700 years before. Right? That's God. Blows my mind, right? So we have to get woke to the fact that he is speaking. And so then, so what? So, what did God do? Sent his son. He's like, man, I tried it. I tried miracles. I tried fire from heaven. I tried miraculous babies to 100-year-olds. I tried plagues over lands. I've been trying to speak. I've been trying to speak. I've been trying to let you know who I am in my heart. I've been calling you out of the matrix. I've been calling you out of the world. So he's like, my word is going to become flesh. It's going to dwell among you. It's going to cry with you and laugh with you and get hungry with you and bleed with you. And my word, my character, my identity, my plan, everything that I am and want and stand for and all my love and all my heart will become a person that you can feel, that you can see, that you can touch. And maybe now you'll hear it. And he came not only to bring that to us, right, to our mind. That's what we get. Tell me what you're saying, like, bring it to my mind. Guys, we can't stop there. Like, you don't experience the world. You don't know what's going on in the world until you experience what's going on with God. You don't just know this. You experience the difference. And I would love to say I'm a guy who's come across, like, the perfection of how to walk this out, but that's not the case. But I'll tell you what, I've been getting tastes of it. I've been seeing it. He's been pulling back those blinds little by little, and I know that if we keep, and it's the same for you, right? Has he done miraculous things, like in the way that you do your money? Have you seen him do that? Like, wow, yeah. Anyone, like, took a pay cut or lost a job and see him do crazy things? What about in relationship? Have you seen him heal things that were broken? What about in health? Did he heal things that shouldn't be healed? What about in the middle of a coronavirus, right? Like a pandemic through the world. Like, we're still living in God's blessing, man, and we're growing and we're getting together and we're trying to be safe and respectful for it, but we're just honoring God. Like, this church, what God has done in the last 12 months in this place, holy cow. Holy cow. Like, his word is here not only to bring it to our mind so that we could experience it, who he is. Do you know that God loves you? Do you really know it? Do I even really know it? Do we know that God is good and that he has a plan thousands of years ahead of time? And that he's working even the littlest details out? And if you're his, those are going in your favor. But there's things that he's going to bring you, right? Because Jesus is coming to bring judgment, coming to bring a sword, coming right to bring fire. Like, he's going to be the sword that cuts. He's going to cut to your motives. He's going to check you. He's going to ask you to join him in eternal life now, not wait. And that means start getting holy now. Start being set apart for him now. Start trying to make the righteous choices. Not to earn his love, but because you have it. So when John is like, guys, I'm writing you this letter, because God is speaking. He's speaking. Man, I can't imagine for you guys 20 years from now what you're going to look back and see, you know? And then those people in their 20s, what he's doing now, and the people in their 30s, what he's doing now, and 40s, and 50s, and 60s, and 70s, and 80s, and 90s, and beyond. And God is speaking, and John is still saying to us, like, guys, the word of God came. And it was Jesus. He became flesh. And he dwelt among us. And it's true. Let me show you what he showed me. Let me peel back the blindfold. Let me dissolve the matrix. And I've got to warn you, the path is not easy. Right? If you watch that movie when Neo gets woken up from this sack that he's been plugged into this computer in, like, he's in a tremendous amount of pain. Like, some people don't make it out of that. And so this awakening, this getting woke process for him is painful. And so that's what I'm praying that's going to hurt a little bit for us. It's going to challenge us a little bit. Because I don't want to say, oh, Jesus is the Word of God, right? Word of God, oh, that's my Bible, right? I'll go dust that thing off and then bring it out. Like, sure, both of those are true. But you and I, if we want to get these things from our heads to our heart, if we want to be the people that follow God, if we want to be the bride of Christ, the one that he adores and loves, we need to know his love. We need to experience his love, because he loved us so much that we see our own God, our own Savior, come in human form. That's awesome, right? The Word of God, who God is, how he sees you, what is true and right, and the pitfalls of this world that our enemy is constantly pulling over our eyes. Let me pray as we kind of enter in this season, and the worship team can come up. Jesus, Lord, you are God. In you, all things were created. You were there in the beginning. You know us. You love us. You knit us together in our mother's wombs. And so, Jesus, I pray that you would bring the sting, if that's what it takes, so that we would be woken up from this trance of the world that we're in, Jesus. As we enter into the writings that you given to John so many years ago, Lord, I know that they're going to ring true today. And so, Jesus, I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would well up in all those who believe, Lord, and that you would challenge us to search ourselves, and that you would search us and then know where we're blind, Lord, know where we don't see reality. Lord, and I pray that you would give us vision clearer and clearer every day, that you'd remove the veil, the covering over our eyes. Lord, and I pray that you would do it in a way that only you can do it, Jesus, with a kindness and a gentleness and a decisiveness. Lord, I don't want us to be the same a year from now as we are now. I want us to keep growing in you. And so, Jesus, we just celebrate and say hallelujah because our Lord has come. And this year, as we celebrate this season, this Advent, this coming of our Christ, we can just rest. We can have joy. Because we know, no matter what we're doing or not doing, we have a God who's planning way ahead, who's in power, who's never lost control. Lord, thanks for bringing us together. I pray your protection over this as people begin to ask for their eyes to be open without a doubt. That's an opposed thing. And so I pray, Jesus, that your power would surround us, that you'd protect us from the flaming arrows that will undoubtedly come, that our faith in you would be a shield and would knock aside all those things, and that we would hold close to truth, that we would speak it with one another, that we would read it in the Bible, that we would hear it in Bible study. That you'd be glorified among us, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.